The Old Testament reading is from 1 Samuel chapter 1, beginning at verse 21. The man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and to pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, "As soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him, so that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever." Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord establish his word." So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine. And she brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh, and the child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull, and they brought the child to Eli. And she said, "O my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who was standing here in your presence, praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is from Hebrews chapter 2, beginning at verse 14. "Since therefore the children share in the flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 40. "And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel.' And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, 'Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed.' And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ." Please be seated. Well, that was a classic epiphany episode where the old man Simeon and the widow Anna, somehow through the Holy Spirit, recognized the baby Jesus as the long-awaited Messiah. Here's the backstory. Joseph and Mary, being devout Jews, had Jesus circumcised 8 days after his birth. But then 40 days after his birth, Mary and Joseph took Jesus from Nazareth to the temple in Jerusalem to present him to God, as required for firstborn sons, but also to complete Mary's ritual of purification. And to understand that, you have to look at Leviticus 12. Purification after the birth of a child was required because in childbirth there is blood shed. And in the ritual life of Israel, blood is a big deal. For example, when blood was shed in animal sacrifice, it was beneficial. That's how the sins of the people were atoned for. In sacrifice rituals, animal blood was something poured on the altar or sprinkled on the people. In the ordination ritual of the Jewish priests, animal blood was put on the ear, thumb, and big toe of the new priest. So in those cases, blood had positive ritual uses. But human bloodshed, in most cases, was considered contaminating. So after childbirth, a 40-day waiting period was required. And then blood from a sacrificed lamb was used in the purification ritual. Unless you were poor. In that case, then a pair of turtle doves or pigeons would suffice. After the birth, 40 days passed. The lamb or the birds were sacrificed. The priest declared you clean, and it was done. So reading this story, we find out two things about Joseph and Mary. They were poor, and they were very devout and conscientious to keep the law of Moses. They were good Jews. We also get a hint from Simeon and Anna of something to come. Something so over the top, no one would have believed it. Here's what I mean. Take a look at our epistle lesson from Hebrews. In verse 17, it's pointed out that Jesus was, like us, made of flesh and blood. If you go back to the beginning of Hebrews 2, you'll see that the bigger point being made here is that Jesus is God. And somehow, some way, at the same time, man. So what Simeon and Anna and Mary and Joseph were all witnessing with their own eyes, whether they fully understood it or not, was the incarnation of God. God who's come to earth. And there's even more than that. We'll get to that in a minute. But first, this idea that God has come to earth. You know, in the 28th chapter of Genesis, there's a very strange story of Jacob and the dream he had. Here's the background. Jacob came from a culture where the oldest son inherited his father's entire estate. The other children were left out. Estates were transferred by way of a verbal pledge from the father. Jacob, it turned out, was the second child, the second son. So Jacob swindled his older brother Esau out of his inheritance by deceiving their father. And as can be imagined, Esau was enraged. He wanted to kill Jacob. So their mother Rebekah sent Jacob to live with her brother Laban. So in Genesis 28, we have the despairing Jacob, a young man who's on the run. He's homesick. He's filled with guilt for what he'd done to his brother Esau, and he was afraid for his life. On the very first night of his journey to Laban's, he slept under the stars and dreamt. And in his dream, there was a ladder that spanned from earth to heaven. And on that ladder, there were angels climbing up and down. And suddenly, God stood above Jacob in the dream. and repeated to Jacob the promise he'd given to Jacob's grandfather, Abraham. I will give you the land upon which you lie and make your offspring so numerous as dust on the earth. In his dream, God came down to Jacob. And he did it in Jacob's moment of doubt and fear. He did it when Jacob's own sin was fresh in Jacob's memory. The astounding truth is, God was merciful to Jacob, the guy who swindled his own brother. Jacob cheated his own brother for personal gain, but God treated Jacob just like he treats you and me, with undeserved, even scandalous, mercy. And here's why I bring this story up. There's an old Sunday school song called Climbing Jacob's Ladder. And the lyrics repeat these lines. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. Every rung goes higher and higher. The intended implication being that through our good deeds and personal holiness, we climb closer to God. But in Jacob's dream, no human being climbed Jacob's ladder to God. Instead, angels from heaven and God himself descended down to Jacob, where Jacob lived, filled with fear due to his own sin, afraid for his own life after he swindled his brother. Jacob didn't climb up to God. God came down to Jacob. And that's exactly what old Simeon and the widow Anna, along with Mary and Joseph, were witnessing in the temple. God had come down to earth, except it wasn't a dream. But there's even more to it than that. Because God didn't just come down to earth, he came as a human, like us, and lived among us, and healed us, and suffered with us. Maybe you've heard the terms theology of glory and theology of the cross. They're two opposing ideas about how God reveals himself to us. Theologians of glory always focus on human capacity to fulfill the law, to make the right decisions. And there's an expectation that rewards come with correct choices and decisions. It's as if we could climb the ladder to God and be rewarded. It's appealing. Theologians of the cross, on the other hand, focus on what Christ has accomplished for you without regard for your own worthiness. What matters is his keeping of the law in the face of your sin, his mercy toward you in the face of your rejection of him. It's not what you do that saves you. It's what Christ has done for you. Christ comes down to you, maybe when you least expect it. And he works even in the midst of your suffering, maybe especially in your suffering. Hebrews 2:17 says that Christ was made like us. Why? In order to empathize with us, to feel what we feel, to suffer what we suffer, to cry when we cry. And on the cross, he absorbed into his own body all of our sin, and in exchange, imputed to us all of his righteousness with the words, "It is finished." It's not that his life was finished. It was his work that was finished here on earth, his work for you. Even though now still you have suffering to endure and you have disappointments to contend with, You also have a compassionate advocate with the Father who has suffered as you have. And your advocate is Christ, who has come down to earth and will never abandon you, even when you abandon him. Which means you can relax. You have nothing to prove. You have no ladder to climb. So be at peace. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have come down to us because we are incapable of climbing up to you. Cause us to marvel at your incarnation and to be filled with gratitude for what you have done for us and filled with humility before one another. Because you have saved us, we have not saved ourselves. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.